Revelation 14, let's stand to our feet this morning as we reverence the reading of God's Word. It is good to be saved. It is good to be here this morning. I'm glad to have the health to be in God's house. Amen. At times we've not had the health to be here, but it is good to be here today. Let's look in Revelation chapter 14 and begin to read in verse 12. And the Bible said, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." You can be seated this morning. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for each one that's come. We thank you for the singing that has been done this morning. What a joy it is that we can live by faith and trust you. And Lord, we thank you for the faith that you've gave us. It's preaching time now, and Lord, we certainly need you, need a touch from you. And Lord, if you don't come by, this thing's going to fall flat. I've tried to do my best to get the message that would be for the hour this morning, but if you'll come by and touch folk, and touch my words, and help their ears and their heart in the hearing of your word. I know it'll make a difference in their life and make a difference in mine. And Lord, we sure do love you this morning. Thank you for Jesus who loved us. Now, Lord, I pray if somebody needs to get saved, they'd get saved. Somebody needs help, that help will be found this morning. I ask you to save that sinner that is nearest hell for these in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In this passage of Scripture in Revelation chapter 14, we're really coming to the close of things, if you'd let me say that. I believe Babylon has, the great Babylon has fallen at this time. The wrath of God is fixing to be poured out, or is being poured out. And right here it talks about the patience of the saints. And let me say that during the time of the tribulation period and the wrath of God, we will not be here. You need to say amen right there. Amen. That ought to excite you. I do believe in a pre-tribulation, a rapture of the church. Amen. That's what we believe here, and I believe that's because that's Bible doctrine. It's not Baptist doctrine. Not all Baptists believe that, by the way, but it is Bible doctrine today that we're leaving out of here before the wrath of God comes and before the tribulation period sets in. But during this time, we find that the tribulation period is set in, the wrath of God is fixing to be poured out. But we find that there are tribulation saints during this time, those that will have trusted Christ. You know, you've got the sealed 144,000. You've got those that are going to trust Him that, according to Matthew 24, that are going to have to endure to the end. The same shall be saved. And that's what that's making reference to. I quit enduring a long time ago and started enjoying things. Amen. That's what I've done. But notice what he said as they come down to the end. He said, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." As I look here and I begin to consider that passage of Scripture, as he talks about their works that follow them, the saints. We know that the tribulation saints, their works will be remembered. But I want to draw this and for a thought for today, that when we have ceased and rest from our labors here, what's going to follow us? What's going to follow us? In other words, what are we going to leave behind here? Do you realize that every one of us are leaving out of here? No matter how young or old we are, we've all got an appointment with death, and we're going to die. Boy, I'm telling you, you need to get a hold of that this morning. Well, and I'm not saying that I think about it all the time. That's kind of morbid if you think about dying all the time, because Christ don't want us to think about dying all the time. He really wants us to dwell on living, amen, and living in Him. But you need to understand, you're going to die. You're leaving out of here. And what's going to be left behind you once you leave from here? If you look over Matthew chapter 26, you'll find that woman that come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me start by a way of introduction real quick in these scriptures, and we'll get started in Matthew 26, and I believe it is verse 13. as she come and poured the ointment on him for his burial. He said, "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her." We're still telling that story today. We're still telling what she done to Jesus. Her works are following her. If you look in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, and look what the Bible said about Abel and his faith. Hebrews 11 and 4, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, and God testifying of his gifts, and by it being, and he being dead, yet speaketh." Listen, when we're dead, what have we said about ourselves? You go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15. And the Bible tells us as he's getting ready to leave, I believe Peter's getting ready to leave, and he said, moreover, "I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance." Peter said, after I'm dead and I'm gone, these things that I've told you, I want you to remember them. And so what are folk going to say about us or think about us when we're gone? Now, you understand we're going to die, and the only thing that we can leave here is the works for Christ that we've done. Listen, I know that we can put treasure over in heaven. You can't keep treasure here. You know, I've never yet seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul or stopping at the bank and getting money to take with. And you can try to take it with you. The Egyptians tried that. You remember they made all these big fancy tombs and they'd put everything in there. And you know what? Over 2,000 years later, when they opened them up, it's all still there. It didn't go nowhere with them, did it? Amen. And so our stuff here does not matter when we get ready to leave. But what we've done for Christ is what matters. And so that's what I want to preach on. You know, when Elijah left out of here, the Bible said in 2 Kings chapter 2 that the sons of the prophets went to look for him because there was something special about him. You know, in the book of Hebrews, when it talked about Enoch, it said, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found." Makes me think they looked for him. Let me ask you a question. You think you'll be missed when you leave out of here? Well, you say, "Well, my family will miss me." Well, they probably will. You know, when I leave out of here, I'll be honest with you, I want to be missed. I want to do something. I want to love on people and care for people and mean something to my neighbors and my friends and mean something to you in Christ Jesus the Lord, that when I leave out of here, I'm going to be missed. But I want to be missed for the cause of Christ. And so this morning, what will we leave behind? Let me say quickly, there's some things I don't want to leave behind. One is the question of my eternity. Let me say this. If you're saved, you'll see me in heaven. I will guarantee you of that right now. That still stirs my heart to be able to make that promise to you this morning. There's an old song that said, "I firmly promise you I will see you again." I love to sing that old song out of the Redback book where we talk about, "I will meet you in the morning by the bright riverside, where all sorrow has drifted away. I'm glad that I can, with a surety in my heart and faith in Christ Jesus, I can make you that promise." But when you leave out of here, is folk going to wonder about your eternity? Where did they go? You ought to make it easy on the preacher when he has to stand up and preach and has no fear or worry about where you went to in eternity. I think you need to know that you're saved. 2 Corinthians 13 said, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates." You can take this Bible and prove your salvation. It's not based on feeling. Now, I'm glad we've got a salvation we can feel, but there are days you're not going to feel saved, but that Bible right there will tell you that you are if you trusted Christ to save you. And you need to understand that. To have a say-so salvation because the Bible says so. I don't want to leave behind a bad testimony. I don't want to have been a has-been. Folks say, well, you know, he did preach, but then this happened. Or he did serve the Lord, and then he quit. You know, Demas, every time we look at, I hear the word Demas, I folk talk about him. He is always associated with being a quitter. Paul said in the very end of 2 Timothy chapter 4, over, I believe it was, he said, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. That's a bad testimony, isn't it? I would hate to leave behind a testimony that I had been unfaithful to my wife. I would hate to leave behind a testimony that sin had crept in and I had still tried to serve God even with sin, or that I had been a gossip or a busybody, or that I had just quit, or I'm telling you, I don't want none of those things. I don't want to leave that kind of testimony behind. I want to be the kind where the Apostle Paul talks about where I've finished, man. You know, I fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I have kept the faith. Ain't that what you want to leave behind? Don't you want your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, those that love you, those that you worked with in your family, and those that are close to you, to know that you love God and done all that you could to serve Him? And I'll be honest with you, I don't want to leave no money in my bank account that belongs to God. I don't. If it's His, I want Him to have it. Amen. I don't want to leave out of here owing God anything. And I think that's a desire that we should all have. But what will you leave behind? As I said a few minutes ago, number one, I want to leave behind somebody that's missed. When the wicked die, most people don't miss the wicked, do they? The Bible said in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 8, and so I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city that they had so done. This is also vanity. Proverbs chapter 10 talks about the name of the righteous. The memory of the just is blessed, I believe the Bible said, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Now which one do you want? You want to leave behind a name that is blessed or a name that's going to rot? Amen. When folks think about you and their memory is jogged about you and think about you, what will they think? I listen to Brother Roloff from time to time on the radio, and he is a big fixture in Independent Baptist history, if you let me say that. He's a big picture in it, and I mean a big fixture. I remember listening to a story of when Brother Roloff, I believe it was back in the late 50s or maybe the early 60s, he'd got that airplane for the first time, and there was a young man that used to travel with him and take his guitar and pile in that little old plane with him and go do tent revivals with him. And he said, Brother Roloff, he said he'd get out there on that runway and he'd begin to talk to the Lord. And he said he just talked to the Lord like we talk to each other. And he'd say, now, Lord, you know I don't know how to fly this thing. I believe I'd be opening the door to get out about that time. He'd say, now, Lord, you don't know. You know I don't know how to fly this thing, so you're going to have to help me get there. And that old boy said that Brother Roloff would get up there and he'd just fly by the road. He'd look down at the road that was down there, and that's how he was flying that plane. And you know what? They still play them old radio broadcasts that Brother Roloff recorded 20 and 30 and 40 years ago. They still playing them. Brother Adrian Rogers, they still play Love Worth Finding. Amen? You see what I'm saying? Listen, you don't have to be a preacher, though. I got to studying about that. And all the people that I think of a lot of times is preachers. I'm getting way ahead of myself and my thoughts. But I think about Brother Frankie. He used to sit right back here. Very quiet and didn't say a whole lot. But there was one thing that you could always count on about Brother Frankie is he was always there. When me and Kelly would pull up in the driveway, his car was always there. He may be the first one here. He'd always be the first one to leave a lot of times, but he'd always be the first one here, and he was right there. And he'd always say, "Preacher, if you need anything, if you're going to do anything at the church, you call me and I'll be there." And he would be. When his health, before it deteriorated and got down, it didn't matter what we were doing. If I was here working by myself, he wanted to come by and help. I think about Brother Frankie. I miss him. I miss him and Miss Sue. You know, I told you they looked for Elijah and Enoch when they left. Reckon the folk would want to look for us. When we leave out of here, reckon folk would want to look for us. You know, I mean, looking for our fruits that we had bared out for the Lord. You know, the Bible said, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance." You know, that's what we should have, shouldn't it? Most people that's hateful, most people that's angry, we don't really want to be around them people, do we? I'm just being honest this morning as I know how to be. I mean, most people, you know, the Bible tells us not to get involved with an angry man. And if you're angry, you ever just been around somebody that's angry all the time? I mean, the world, I mean, everything, nothing never goes right. They've always got something bad to say and nothing never good to say. Now, are those the kind of people that you want to sit down at the break or the lunch table and eat dinner with every day? Well, I'll just go ahead and answer. Let me put my glasses back on. You might have been shaking your heads. I can't see you. But I'll just tell you, no, they're not. I mean, I'd rather eat by myself in solitude as I have to deal with that every day. Now, I'm asking you, what's going to be left behind about us when we leave here? What about our love and our joy? Let me ask you this. What's folks say about us right now? You know, our testimony is going to go far beyond just here. You need to understand that. Our works are going to follow us, but what about our testimony now? Are we bearing out love and joy and peace? Are we long-suffering? You know, I've had to learn how to be long-suffering over the years. I've had to learn how to be long-suffering. That's not a natural thing for me. For some people it is, but you know, I had to learn by the help of the Lord to be long-suffering, to be gentle. My wife says, "That bear's coming out again." Now, she can tell me that. You all will catch on the rest of that here in a minute. Goodness, just to be good and have faith and trust the Lord and let folks see that. Meekness, that strength that is under control. Meekness is not weakness, but it is the fact that sometimes that we can come to the place to be very humble. And temperance. Will folk talk about what we've done for the Lord when we leave out of here? Will folk miss our works that we've done? Will folk miss our faithfulness? I'm getting way ahead of myself right now. But will folk miss our faithfulness here at the church? Do we let our light shine now that our light will shine afterwards? Am I making sense to y'all this morning? Do y'all understand what I'm talking about? I'm asking you, what are we doing now? Because that's what's going to matter. And that stuff's going to follow us all the way to the end. Now, I'm not Church of God. Now, I'll never forget being over in the nursing home and Miss Johnson. I'll never forget. I walked into her room one day. I was talking to the Lord about what rooms to go in. And that really... I just give me a little short list to visit, and I just you can call it happenstance. I believe the Lord was just involved in this thing, and I remember that I'd been over to see Brother Eddie, and I loved to go visit with Brother Eddie. Brother Eddie had been in the Korean War and in the Vietnam War, and he got to protect General MacArthur. That's what he said. He said, when MacArthur, that's how he said it, MacArthur, when MacArthur come, he said, "I got to be on his security detail and protect him while he were where we was." And he loved to tell that story. And I remember going in and seeing Brother Eddie, and I talked to him about his salvation, and And he says, preacher, he said, I'll tell you, he said, I got over in Korea, and he said, I promised God that if I could get out of here, I'd get saved. And he said, and I thought, well, this is going to be one of them wartime stories, you know, I don't know if he really got it or not. See how you mind out sometime, brother. You know, people just telling you what happened in their life, you know. But I was already thinking, you know, you got to watch that thinking. And he said, you know what I found? He said, God got me out of Korea. And he said, I never got saved. And then I ended up in Vietnam. And he said, it was over in Vietnam that I got saved. And boy, he talked about serving God and all these things. But I stepped out of Eddie's room and just walked right across the hallway and walked into this room. And here sat this lady in a wheelchair. And I just introduced myself and I began to talk to her. And Miss Johnson, her husband had been a Church of God pastor for years, and he is dead and gone. And I just sat down and began to talk to her. And she says, you know, I've been praying. I've been praying, Lord, send us somebody around here to just come visit with us. That's why I say God kind of got involved in that thing right there. And so I went in and visited with her, and she made a statement one time. And it was getting close. I mean, she knew she was about to leave out of here. And she said, I'd hate to think that I've lived all the way down to the end and then I do something wrong. Now, that's Church of God doctrine right there. You got to understand what she was saying right there. She was wanting to live perfect all the way to the end to retain her salvation. They believe they can lose their salvation. I'm glad I can't lose my salvation. But I'm going to make the same statement she made. I would hate to think that I lived good and then bloated at the end. Not because I'm afraid of dying and going to hell. I got saved from that a long time ago. But I would hate to think, because I'm going to tell you that whole life that I lived for Christ Jesus the Lord all the way down to the end and then foul it up. You know what people's going to remember? They're going to remember what you fouled up. They're going to remember that. I want to be somebody that's going to be missing. I want to be missed. I want my influence to be me. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Paul said, as I follow Christ, you follow me. That's a pretty big statement. Can we say that to people? Hey, moms and dads, can you tell your children, as I follow Christ, I want you to follow me? You know, I'm not picking on my dad. I guess I am a little bit. But he used to tell me, he would say, son, don't do as I say, not as I do. I was raised with that. And sometimes I needed to do what he said to do and not like he did sometimes. But you know what I always did? I always did what he done. It was the example that was set. Not that he was doing anything bad. He was just wanting me to do better than he was. Ain't that what every parent in here wants? You want your children to do better than you've done? Even in living for Christ, you want your child to be just as faithful to God as they can be? Let me ask you something this morning. When we talk to folk that know you, would they know that you are a Christian? Would they know that you love God? If each of us got put on trial for being a Christian, could they drag up enough people and that to say, yes, I knew he was a Christian. I knew she professed. I knew that she lived or he lived that way and that for God. Enoch had a testimony that he pleased God. What about our testimony? Does it please God in our influence that we have? You know, the Bible said furthermore in 1 Thessalonians 4, said furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us, how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. Paul said, you've received of us how you ought to walk. He said, do it in all pleasing. If we ask folk now, what would they know about us? Are you planning on leaving anytime soon? I hope not. As far as leaving out of here, I hope I ain't leaving anytime soon. I'm going to heaven. One feller said, I'm going to heaven. I just ain't getting a busload up tonight. Amen. But we're all leaving. And we don't get our druthers to say when we do get to leave. So what's going to be said about us? What would your children say about you when you leave? That you love God and you serve God and you're faithful to God as you can be. Because here's the thing about it. Your children knows you better than anybody else probably. They're living in the same house with you. I mean, maybe your spouse knows you a little better. What would your spouse say about you? You know who knows us better than anybody? And that's the Lord. And what does the Lord say about us? When we compare our life and that with this book that is in front of us, what does it say about us? He talks about it being looking into the perfect law of liberty. You know, it is a mirror that reflects us. It shows us what we are. It tells us what God wants out of us. I'm determined that's why some people don't read it. If you don't like the way you look, most of the time you don't look in the mirror, do you? I've got a friend of mine, built a new house 4 or 5 years ago. Got 4 bathrooms in that house. And got one mirror in the whole house. I don't know why they don't hang more myself, but that's not me. I'll just be honest with you. But I'm thinking they don't want to look at themselves. You know, the same thing is determined right here out of this book. Most of us has got more than 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 Bibles. But how many do we look in? How many do we pick up? I don't know how we got on that, but boy, ain't that good. Didn't get no amen there at all, did I? He said they would rest from their labors, but their works do follow them. My wife works for a construction company. They build wastewater treatment plants. So when the work is all finished and the work is all done, you can stand back and you can admire that thing and you can ask the question, who built that? Who done that? And they would tell you the name of the construction company who done that. But they're done. Their work is done. Their labor is finished. So when we leave here, what's going to be said? I think it's very important what we leave behind. I think because leaving it behind means we have to do it now. We have to build now. We have to labor now and work now. I want something to follow me. I just don't want to be a blip in history. Listen, when I leave out of here, I want these young'uns to remember me. I want them to remember their pastor and their preacher, that I told them the truth, that I tried to get them saved, that I told them about Jesus and I warned them about sin and told them all these things. I want them to remember that. I just ain't up here shooting off at the mouth. I mean, sometimes I probably am, but I mean, I'll just be honest with you. I'm doing it because I want you right, and I want me right, and I want these kids to get right. Amen. But Enoch left a testimony that he pleased God. Are you pleasing to the Lord today? Abraham left a testimony behind that he was faithful and that he had faith, didn't he? You know, the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, when he was called, talking about Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and he went out not knowing whether he went. That'd be scary, wouldn't it? God said, just get up and go, Abraham, and I'll tell you where to go when you go. And when you get there, I'll let you know that you're there. But I just need you to go. Now, ain't that really what happened right there? How many of us would be able to do what Abraham done? Just pull up stakes, leave your family, and take off and just go where God said to go. Romans chapter 4 said, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and is it counted to him for righteousness. He just believed God. Some of you all can think about some people that just believed God. They're dead and gone now. You've got them in your mind. But they just believe God. They may have or may not have had this book exactly right, but they believe God. They believed what they read in this book, and they simply believe God. You ain't got to get it all right to get there. You got to get salvation right and then begin to study and seek God, and He'll open that book to you. But I'll guarantee you, they, some folk in heaven, didn't believe all that book exactly right, friend. Well, that's going to put a scar on some independent Baptists for sure. Amen. I'm not saying they shouldn't have believed it. I'm not saying that they shouldn't have got there. I'm just telling you, they struggled with some things. I think I've got it all right. But you know, when I get up there to the judgment seat, I may figure out I ain't got it all right. But I know I'm getting there. How about you? But Abraham had faith. He believed God. He was going out to look for a city that whose builder and maker was God, and a city that had foundations. He was going out to have a son in his old age when Sarah was past the time of having children, and yet God performed a miracle. And Abraham just believed God. Boy, I'd like to have that kind of testimony. I'd like to have that testimony now. When you think about me, boy, our preacher just believes God and trusts God. He's just following God. Are we a people of great faith, or are we of those who have failing and weak faith? I know our faith is going to get weak and it's going to fail sometimes. But are we always that way? You know, we should, out of all the people that should have great faith, it's us. We've got the greatest book in the whole world sitting in front of us that tells us what the Lord can and does and will do and has done, and yet we still struggle sometimes. And I'm with you. Timothy, his grandmother and mother, talking about Lois and Eunice. Paul said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, he said, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. He said, I remember your mama and your mama. And he said, I remember the faith that those two ladies had, that they trusted God. And he said, that same faith that was in them is appearing in you. See, it does matter how you raise your children. I don't know if Lois and Eunice was still alive at this time, but Paul had a memory of those two ladies. Who do we have memories of? I remember listening to Miss Stella years ago. I remember listening to her testify in church. I probably wasn't 16 or 17 years old. Man, she was old then. And I remember that was the first time I can ever remember that terminology that she used, that we were to tell people that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shine. But she was always there. She was always at church. Until her health failed, she was always at church and always served God. Just some of them old timers, the influence that they've had on your life. Who's had influence in your life? Being a preacher, I think about Brother Ted a lot. I miss Brother Ted, Brother Ted Pagram. I miss him so much. I miss him. He'd pastored where he was for 26 years, and before he retired, he didn't want to say he resigned. He got cancer and went to his brain, and he just couldn't pastor no more. He couldn't do it. But he didn't call it resigning. He called it retiring. He didn't want to resign. He didn't want to retire. And I remember going over and sitting in his house one day, and in this big long living room that they had. And I remember it was narrow, but it was long. And I remember sitting down beside him in a recliner. He had a recliner here and a recliner here. And he had already got to where he couldn't talk plain. And his speech was slurred. And he was hard to understand. And I remember sitting there, and I hate to remember him that way, because that ain't the way I want to remember him. But I remember him telling me, you know, that he had to retire. And did I do the right thing? He asked me, did I do the right thing? And something similar to that. And I said, Brother Ted, I said, your health is no longer going to allow you to do what you need to do. You needed to retire. You needed to leave. He knew he was leaving out of here. And so that memory, I remember of him there, and that's a memory I don't want to have. I don't want to remember him that way. I remember the first time that I ever met Brother Ted. I remember him preaching over at Lee's. And he come to that scripture in Psalms chapter 17. And sometimes it is amazing how God can use somebody in something. I guess it's why I fell in love with him so much. But I remember him preaching out of Psalm 17, and I believe it is verse 3. And he just simply preached on, "The Lord has visited me in the nighttime." And that's what David said. "For the Lord has visited me in the nighttime." And I remember that that was a short message, and I remember that I'd come home from work every day and I had that thing on tape, and I got so good at hitting the rewind button, I'm telling my age now, that I could hit the rewind button on that tape player in my truck and hit play, and I could play it to the end and rewind it, and I knew how far to let that thing go back and hit play and listen to it again. And he was just as honest as the day was long. I love honest people. I'm talking about people that make the difference in your life. Wouldn't you want to do that for somebody else? You all sitting in here, I mean, Brother Marvin knew Brother Ted a little bit, and he's come and preached revival for us and preached our church dedication when we remodeled the church and all that. But listen, I talked to him. And he was just as real and just as honest. I remember he told me one time when he first got cancer for the first time, he said he got scared. Now, Ted had been an alcoholic before he got saved. And he says, "You know how I got saved, how I know I got saved?" He said, "I used to drink all the time," and he said, "I would gamble away the rent money." And he says, "I don't do that no more." He said, "God changed me." You ought to, if Sister Pat ever comes back through, I'm gonna let her tell you the testimony about the time they went to see the divorce lawyer. And they sat down in his office, and I mean, they were just fighting like cats and dogs. They had adopted two of her, I believe it was her nephews, and they were just in a mess. They were fixing to get a divorce. And she said, the lawyer sat across the table, the desk from them, and said, "I don't ever do this. But," said, "what I want you to do is I want you to go home for the weekend and I want you to think about it. And if you all still want a divorce, you come back and I'll start on it." And she said, "We never went back, but we went to church and got saved." Now, my testimony don't fit like that. But I'm telling you something. He would tell me stories like that about what happened and how real it was. He talked about when he got cancer and he got so afraid and he couldn't sleep. And he said, "I drove out to the other side of the interstate. It's 1 o'clock at night." He said, "I drove out to the other side of the interstate." He said, "I walked into that gas station." He said, "I walked all the way back there to that cooler." I wouldn't tell y'all this if he hadn't already told his church years ago. I was there when he told his church. I wouldn't tell y'all this if he hadn't told them. But he said, "I walked all the way back out of that cooler," and he said, "I put my hand on the door of that cooler to open it up and get me a beer." And he said, "I stood back there and I looked at that," and he said, "I knew that if I drunk that, it's over with." And he said, "I remember I went back out there to my," he said, "I walked out of that gas station, went back in my truck, sat down and cried, went home and went to bed. And just trusted the Lord." See, what I'm trying to get to the point to is I want to leave behind something that's real. He was real to me. He had faults and failures just like I do, but yet he trusted God. I let God show him the way through things. He was having his heart surgery there at the end of Brother Ted's life, he struggled with health problems. And he told me, he said, my oldest daughter come in, and he said, I was worried and couldn't sleep. And said his oldest daughter come in, she's married and moved off at this time. And said, what are you worried about, Dad? Said, what's the devil threatening you with, heaven? That's what she asked him. What's the devil threatening you with, heaven? When you like for one of your children to come in when you're fixing to have heart surgery and afraid that you might die, and they sit down at your bedside and say, what's the worst that happened to you? You go to heaven? Think about that for just a second. I'm asking you, what will we leave behind? What's going to be imprinted in people's mind and their hearts about us in serving the Lord? But you know what he told me? He said, she brought me my Bible and I laid it down on my chest. He might have read it. I'm trying to remember that story, but he... he said, lay it down on my chest. And he said, next thing I know, I woke up and it's morning time. What are you going to leave behind? When I leave out of here, I want to leave behind something that people know how much I love God. How much I serve the Lord because I loved Him. Not because I had to, but because I loved Him. And I knew that He loved me. I want people to know that I love this blessed old book that sits in front of me, that I lived by it, that we run. Listen, you can ask my wife, we try our best to run our home on this book right here. Because if you'll run your home on this book, it'll work every time. I want people to know that I lived by this book. When I leave here, when you come by and you walk by my casket, and I hope it's a long time from now, but when you walk by my casket, I hope some of you don't get to. That means I'm, you know, I got to study one time, Brother Martin, about who I might want to preach my funeral. Told you it gets a little morbid sometimes. And I got to thinking about me, well, these boys has got 30 years on me. And if they're preaching my funeral, that means I'm leaving here in just a little bit. I need somebody young. I need God to call Titus to preach or something and let him preach it. Amen. Yes, he thought he was in trouble. He's looking at me right now. I'm just saying, when I leave out of here, I want folk to know that I love God, that I serve God. I want to be missed from a testimony that I had for God. I want my influence to remain. There was an older gentleman, I'm trying to think of his name, it'll come to me after a while. He lived right up here on top of the hill, and after his wife passed away, he started coming to church down here. Arlen. And boy, he was, if you remember, if you wasn't here, let me put it to you like this, he was a character. He was a character, something else. But I loved being around him. He was something else. And he told me one time about getting saved. He said he was going down 411, headed down into Georgia, and he said Oliver B. Green was on the radio. You know, now, Oliver B. Green's been dead for years, okay? And he said Oliver B. Green was on the radio. And he says, you know what? God got to dealing with me. And he said, I pulled over on the side of the road and got saved. Do you know they still play Brother Oliver B. Green on the radio just like he's alive today? Reckon what kind of influence that man's still having? Reckon these people still getting saved because they still play him? It's still going out. His works are still following him. Brother Roloff's works are still following him. Brother Ted Watson, Brother Eddie, he keeps his daddy on the radio. His works are still following him every day. Every day at 4 o'clock, you can hear him on the radio every day. You can still hear Brother Ted preach every day. Works are still following him. I want people to know that I love the Lord, that I preached his book. But more than anything, I'm going to close. But I want to leave some souls behind. I want to leave some souls behind that said, I got saved because of that fella right there, that lady right there. They wouldn't give up on me. They prayed for me. I still think about Brother Junior that lived across from us for years and years and years. I'd run into his sister-in-law, and I know I've told a lot of this story from up here, but she would say, I have prayed for him. So first she'd say, you've been praying for Junior? Boy, she'd put you on the spot, boy, I'm telling you. She was concerned for her brother-in-law. She really was. And she'd say, you know, I've prayed for that man to get saved for 25 years. And I'd run into her again, and she'd ask me the same question, you've been praying for Junior? And it'd be, I've been praying for him for 30 years. And I'd see her, and it'd be, you've been praying for Junior? I prayed for him for 35 years to get saved. You know, after 35 years, I'd probably got tired. But I think it was some year where, around year 40, that old Junior got saved. Junior had been a drunk for years, and he quit. And it took a while, a long while after he quit drinking to get saved. But you know what I remember more about Junior? Not the very fact that he had been a drunk, even though he had been. But I remember the fact that he got saved. They tell the story about him when he'd go to church. See, he went to church for 3 weeks. And they said on that third week that his back never hit the pew the whole time. He didn't know he could get saved at any time. He was waiting for the preacher to give the altar call. Ain't that something? What are people going to remember about us when we leave out here? Who have we won to Him? What have we done for Him? Because when it boils down, not only are our works going to follow us here, but He's going to know them there. Then what? I want to leave something behind for Him. Not for my memory's sake, but for His memory's sake. Let's bow our heads this morning.